on Racing HQ. Racing HQ.
Green lights on and they are racing.
Here's On The Pace.
Tiger Tara, who's well out in front with Todd McCarthy. It's Tiger Tara who takes the tap into Dominion 2018 and in style.
And in style.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the New Year's Day edition of On The Pace. Yes, this morning being the first day of the new year, January 1, 2019, we're going to be joined by many of our gurus of harness racing. We're going to chat with Chris Barsby out of Queensland, Adam Hamilton out of Victoria. We'll go to New Zealand, get the latest on the reflection of 2018 and go forward to 19 with Mick Gurin. But this morning on our special edition of On The Pace, we want to start with John Dumsney from Harness Racing New South Wales, the CEO of Harness Racing New South Wales. And what a way 2018 finished with the announcement of the $1 million Miracle Mile to be run in March. John, happy new year to you.
Happy new year, Andrew.
It's been, we finish on such a high note, and it's sometimes hard to reflect on what happened back in January through to the middle of the year and the like. But how do you summarise the year for harness racing in the state?
Oh, it summarises a year of building. It was building in a lot of areas. Prize money was something that all our stakeholders were crying for, definitely wanting. So we put in the plan, the board, by Rod Smith and the others, put in a plan to make sure that we had sustainable growth and then be able to deliver those prize money increases. And they were quite strong. The base prize money went up 20%.
I reckon I'm not going to play too many races in this special edition, but I reckon this is one win that many people will always remember.
Anything for Love the Go By. Jillaby Kung Fu Tiger Tara. And here's My Field Marshal winding up from the back of the field. It's Soho Tribeca. Jillaby Kung Fu. Over the top is My Field Marshal. Soho Tribeca, My Field Marshal, and it's going to be My Field Marshal on the line. Grand victory. My Field Marshal wins the Miracle Mile. Camera Miners, Soho Tribeca.
And it was the way that the race was run, John. It was such an outstanding edition of this year's Miracle Mile, and My Field Marshal rating 146.9 to win the race.
Yes, a time ago when Robin Dundee broke the 2 minutes, and then we got out of an electrical track there and the 150 mark, 149. The race was run at a constant pace, and a shift training and driving by the Butt brothers.
No, John. I'm going to take you off air, and I'm going to officially hang up on you, and we'll get you back because we need the line to be much better than that. Mick Gurin, though, is waiting online to take us through New Zealand while we do get John back online and a far better line. Mick Gurin, of course, we're looking forward to the Inter Dominion going there in this year now, January as we're into in 2019. Mick, good morning to you in New Zealand.
Good morning, Andrew. A big hi to you and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners. Thanks for the opportunities in 2018. And well, the harness racing year ended last night at Alexandra Park. It pretty much ended everywhere, but more so at Alexandra Park because they had feature racing there last night. It was the Auckland Trotting Cup, and it was more of the same because the All-Stars, that's Mark Purden and Natalie Rasmussen, took out the feature. But something different this time, a horse called Turn It Up. Now, Turn It Up, Andrew, has only had 9 career starts. So no horse has ever won the Auckland Cup with less career starts than Turn It Up. Was to the lead in the middle stages, was way too good for Star Galleria and Ashley Lopez. So two horses who are previous Group 1 winners. So it didn't beat a poor field, even though we didn't have the likes of Tiger Tara there. Caps a year, 2018, which was so much about the Purden Rasmussen barn, of course. They started it with Lazarus in Perth, then winning the Hunter Cup. He was sensationally sold for what's believed to be $4 million to the US, where he went on to do a super job and was then retired to stud. Around him, they found the fixer to win the New Zealand Cup. So they were the biggest stars in harness racing, but a little bit closer to home for most Australians, and particularly those in New South Wales, was the feel-good story of Tiger Tara. He had been the bridesmaid for a long time behind Lazarus, but that's changed in the back end of 2018, of course. We saw him winning both the Victoria Cup and more emphatically the Inter-Dominion at Melton on December 15, where he was fantastic for Kevin Pizzuto and Todd McCarthy, who are very different types of people. Todd, very polished. Kevin, a rough diamond, but the sort of guy Harness Racing needs. He had so much feel good to these stories, and he's a down-to-earth sort of guy. So New South Wales have a genuine superstar in Tiger Tara. He'll head to Perth and then come back for March 2nd, the Million Dollar Miracle Mile coming up in 2019. That's a lot to look forward to. About the time Harness Racing had a million-dollar race again, and it would suggest it won't be the last one in 2019 and heading forward. On the trotting front, a new star emerged in Tornado Valley. He was very, very good for Andy and Kate Gath, imported to Victoria from New Zealand. He's a horse who had moderate form but showed plenty of promise. By the time he got to the Inter-Dominions on December 15, he was the best trotter in Australasia alongside Mark Cooler. Mark Cooler, surprisingly, was beaten last night at Alexandra Park by massive Metro in a big upset in the National Trot. The Trotters, I would suggest Tornado Valley and Mark Cooler will square off at some stage, maybe in the Great Southern Star, to see who is the king of Australasia. There was a changing of the guard. Some of the big names left us. Of course, Lazarus to the States, he's retired. Lenny the Shark retired to stud. Heaven Rocks was a very short bursting star across the Racing Galaxy before he also went to North America. And Jillaby Kung Fu emerged as a very, very good horse, running second in the Miracle Mile on 146.9 to Myfield Marshall before he was injured. Hopefully he's on the way back. Myfield Marshall waiting in Perth for Tiger Tara. So those now Sydney-trained horses could be the stars in WA soon. On the 2 and 3-year-old front, Ultimate Sniper has emerged as the name to follow. He's unbeaten as a 3-year-old in New Zealand, and they tend to go on to be very, very good 3-year-olds. And closer to home in Victoria, Emma Stewart had a remarkable run through the Vic Breed and then on to the Breeders' Crown, and she has an abundance of 3- and 4-year-old talent. The sort of horses who, for Australia, can fend off some of that All-Stars talent through carnivals like the Summer of Glory coming up at Melton late January, early February, and of course into the Miracle Mile Carnival in February into March for Sydney. All in all, on the harness racing front, there were so many highlights, so many great horses, but Lazarus had to be the star of the show in both hemispheres. And what a wonderful story to know that our best pacers can go to North America and not only foot it with them, but actually beat most of the best up there. He was second among the free-for-allers up there, only to Mick Wickett, who, of course, had raced up there for so much longer and had so much more experience. Harness Racing in 2019. Well, Harness Racing Victoria is slowly eking forward with turnover. Harness Racing New South Wales has had some really positive initiatives, and they have that huge million-dollar Miracle Mile coming up. Andrew, the Gallops are definitely still the king of racing in Australia, but Harness Racing edging its way back, and some really positive things around Channel 7 free-to-air coverage of the Inter-Dominion, suggesting maybe that's a way forward for Harness Racing to try and get itself back into the mainstream. Andrew, I've enjoyed being part of your coverage in 2018. Look forward to being part of it in 2019. To all your listeners, good luck on the punt. If you do remember one name for the new season, that should be Ultimate Sniper. He could be the new superstar of Harness Racing. Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, Mick. Mick Gurin from New Zealand going through the New Zealand highlights going forward. John Dunsney does join us from Harness Racing New South Wales. And John, we've been talking about prize money. And as I say, the grassroots are very much something that the whole board is looking at towards the new year, 2019.
Yes, Andrew, just to sort of repeat myself, it's a fact that the industry must be sustained from the bottom up, and the grassroots is where it comes from. Our day-to-day racing, our week-to-week racing is through the many clubs around New South Wales and the owners and trainers that own some of those horses that will never meet that Miracle Mile, that million-dollar Miracle Mile. They're the ones we had to look after, and they're the ones that we have looked after and we will continue to look after as far as prize money and opportunities are concerned.
Take us through a board meeting when you're standing by for news on the Miracle Mile and you're about to announce a million-dollar race. Must have been an exciting board meeting when you finalised that.
It certainly was. It was a little while in the making. A lot of negotiations have to go on there, especially with Clubman Angle. They are the owners of the Miracle Mile. It was first run at Harold Park in 1969. Robin Dundee ran that fantastic time of 1:59, breaking the 2 minutes. But that club has been involved and owned that race for such a long time, and they have to be involved, especially when we wanted to bring in, as an automatic qualifier, the Newcastle Mile, because that's about spreading the word, spreading the sport to other regions. And Newcastle is a major region in New South Wales. Many horses, many race meetings there, and we needed to take a Group 1 race there for the very first time. So it was about negotiating with the principal club, and they were fully on board, as they always are with Harness Racing New South Wales, with so many initiatives. They're basically the foundations of the tab.com.au Carnival Cups program. So it's working together that'll take us forward.
And the Carnival of Cups, we've got one tonight at Leeton. I know you've got a run of them over the next few weeks. The country clubs, I know you're always, from an organisation, you're a controlling body at Harness Racing New South Wales, but you're always assisting the clubs in, having them in a great financial position going forward.
Well, without them, the clubs being strong, we've got no base again. We talk about the horses, but without the base of the clubs to run these meetings, and I was in Parks last night. The weather wasn't real good. A dust storm came in. It looked like raining. It was very windy, but a strong crowd turned up there, and everyone enjoyed themselves throughout the night. And it's the volunteers. You see the volunteers that work at these clubs that make them successful. Albury also last night, a mammoth crowd there, and the council certainly backed them there with the fireworks. So across the board, harness racing is, in many respects, the very fabric of the local towns, and that's why we need to support them and protect them. And how we do that is assist them with their administration and best standards with what they do and what we do. And we're always looking at the venues, because without good, solid venues, you can't attract a crowd. Yes, the racing will attract a crowd because it's fantastic, but it's a collaborative that we really work hard on.
And John, with that, the training centres, we know that a lot of work has been done at Tabcorp Park, Menangle, but I know Tamworth One is one of late, and of course, not a training centre, but you're about to launch off on a brand new track down at Wagga Wagga.
Yeah, well, Tamworth's very important to us because, as I've said, not all these horses can make the Miracle Mile, and they can't make too many races, some of them, so we need to have a place for them to go and race where owners can enjoy their investment. And this investment often is the intangible of the win. It's not the prize money. Many people are hobbyists and they do it for the love of the sport. So it's important that we have a place like Tamworth where the lesser ability horses can go. So we have a strong investment there. And then we go down to the south, and the Riverina is so strong with breeding, and there's so many horses trained in there. You will often see full fields and 9 and 10 race programmed in the Riverina. So we have that major investment in a new circuit, which will really give horses the opportunity, the horses trained in that area, the opportunity to step right up and then progress on to Tabcorp Park Menangle, where the Metropolitan Racing is.
And with that, the go-through of, we've seen a Tabcorp-TATS merger, we've seen the state government supporting through tax parity and the consumption tax, which clearly other states, and we're looking at South Australia very sadly at the moment, John, that aren't getting a lot of government assistance. It obviously is crucial to have state government really supporting the industry.
Well, it is, and we're fortunate. We have a government, the racing minister, his local electorate is Bathurst, Paul Toole. He and the Treasury, the Premier, are strong behind harness racing. One of the lesser lights in harness racing as far as an event was EI. Equine influenza basically crippled harness racing and thoroughbred racing in New South Wales and in Queensland. And the government stepped back and said, wow, this industry, so many people employed. It contributes so much to the economy. So the government took a stand then, well, we have to make sure that the racing industry, and that includes the greyhounds too, are viable. And we are fortunate with Paul Toole and the Office of Racing being so strong behind harness racing in many respects. And that gives us an opportunity to provide for our participants. And when we provide, it's sustainable. It's we're looking 1, 2, 3, 5 years into the future. So without that government support, we would be in not as good a state.
And the Inter-Dominion, we've just had seemingly a very successful one down in Victoria, and we've gone back to the rotational Inter-Dominion series, and we go to New Zealand this year.
Yes, well, with the Inter-Dominion, New South Wales, I suppose, was the first to break the mould when we took on a different concept with heats around Australasia, went back to the traditional mould in Western Australia, but then it looked as if it was going to falter and possibly fail and fall over. So as far as being from New South Wales, we're very, very proud that we've been able to partner with Harness Racing Victoria and Harness Racing New Zealand, Club Menangle and Harness Racing New South Wales to form a mini rotation, which is, well, I'll say resurrected and sustained the Inter-Dominion, because it's you cannot buy history. You can make history, and the history of the Inter-Dominion has shown that the champions of all the eras have been able to win this great race. And the story of Tiger Tara is, one of those, another tale of how good that race is from the point it's a trainer that he's on the up and up. He's been a long time in the work, Kevin Pizzuto, but young Todd McCarthy, he's a young man with a future as bright as any star that you'll ever see. But it's a family-owned operation, owned by the family, this horse, purchased out of New Zealand at high cost, and that's a major investment, but the return is there. And the intangible, as I said, for the lesser horses is that win. Well, that win, it stunned Kevin, absolutely stunned him. He was almost speechless, but I suppose where the real fairy tale comes out of this is that his girlfriend's boyfriend became her fiancé in the presentation area down there at Melton. So it's a great story, and that story will continue on.
There's going to be many highlights in 2019. We can't wait for the $1 million Ainsworth Miracle Mile in March. John, we thank you for spending a few minutes this morning on the pace, and let's look forward with great excitement.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew, and I hope that wasn't an omen about whether it was the interviewer or the interviewee that couldn't be heard. I hope we're both heard strongly in 2019. And to all the harness racing enthusiasts, all the racing enthusiasts out there that tune in, day out to racing radio, all the best with the punting. And if you're an owner, trainer, breeder of harness racing horses, I hope you get success in this coming year.
Good on you, John. The CEO of Harness Racing New South Wales, John Dumsney, going through there. Adam Hamilton, it works for the TAB, but we know his love for harness racing. And from a Victorian point of view, he joins us on the pace. Happy New Year to you, Adam.
Happy New Year, Andrew, to you and all the listeners and all the harness fans out there who've been such a big part of my life. And it's been a magnificent 2018. And I think most importantly, we look upon the last month or two of 2018 as having really done a lot to resurrect the profile of harness racing and hopefully set the scene for what looks to be a really good 2019. A lot of highlights throughout last year and I believe even more to look forward to in this new year.
We've had a chat with Mick Guerin in New Zealand, Adam, already on the show, and he was talking about what Ultimate Sniper could do. Is he the star that we could see in Victoria or Sydney for the derbies?
Yeah, so bit of news through this morning that he definitely won't be coming to the Victoria Derby. So Victoria's loss will be Sydney's gain and Menangle's gain. So John Dumsney, if he's still tuning in, will be clicking his heels there because he is the single most exciting pacer in this part of the world at the moment. And I know, I know people might say, well, you're saying that a little bit early on. Not really, because he's just been so remarkable winning his his all six starts, including that sale series at Auckland last night. And, of course, his most amazing win came in that three-year-old size final at Addington on New Zealand Cup Day. But it's more just when you speak to Mark Purden, and I'm sure Mick Durham would have said the same thing, when you speak to Mark Purden, and even a tad more on the conservative side normally is Natalie Rasmussen, when you speak to those two, they are just, you know, they just don't hold back in their excitement about what Ultimate Sniper can end up doing. So very, very keen to see him come over to Australia. Everything about him says that big track at Menangle for the New South Wales Derby will really suit him. But it's got to be said, this is a tremendous three-year-old crop. And, you know, you're part of that. You and some of your co-owners have got some really, really nice two-year-olds of last season now rolling into three-year-olds. We saw, you know, the likes of Centenario and Hurricane Harley being so terrific at the end of the two-year-old season in Victoria. But the bar is going to be raised, obviously, again for them when they come up against a horse like Ultimate Sniper. So very, very much looking forward to that. I know you and I sort of chat fairly regularly, but if I was looking back to my absolute highlight of 2018, Andrew, I would just have to say, off the back of what John Dumersney was saying about the Inter-Dominion, just the fact of how successful and how crucially it reminded us that the brand of the Inter-Dominion is the biggest thing that harness racing's got in its favour. And Melbourne had a tremendous Inter-Dominion, there's no doubt about that. And it was won in terrific style by the best horse in the series, and he provided the best story out of the race. So in Tiger Tara. And I think it was the year of the Tiger in two halves. The first half was one where near misses and brave performances, and then he built as the year went on. He finally captured a really big one in the Victoria Cup. He produced one of the greatest runs in defeat that you would ever see when second in that New Zealand Cup, taking on the numbers and the might and the strength of the Purden Rasmussen barn on their own track. And he sat parked and went oh so close to winning it, only just being tipped out by the fixer. And then he got that Inter-Dominion final where he just absolutely destroyed them. And on every possible measure, he deserved that win. And it was the best possible result for the Inter-Dominion, because it'll go down as a dominant win, one of the more dominant wins in Inter-Dominion history. And most importantly, to a horse who deserves to be crowned an Inter-Dominion champion.
Understand. A couple of quickies just to wrap up with. The Chariots of Fire for the four-year-olds. How strong could 2019 be?
Well, I don't know where we start with this four-year-old crop. And we need them, because the open-class horses are a little bit thin at the moment. But, yeah, this four-year-old crop, wow, wherever you look, it's just amazing. I mean, in Victoria, you've got sort of leading the way, Posterboy and Ride High, in whatever order you put them in. New South Wales / Tasmania have got Ignatius, who could be absolutely anything. We've got Colt 31 from Queensland, who's just off the back, or he won the Victoria Derby last season. He's just off the back of a few big open class wins already as an early four-year-old in Queensland. And then you've got the Kiwis, remembering that two of the main chances in the Inter-Dominion final, they didn't win it, but Spankham and I'm Pat's Delight were both four-year-olds. And the best of the Kiwi four-year-old still hasn't popped out this season, but he's very close in Chase Auckland. He's likely to run at Cambridge in the next week or so and then head to Sydney to try and qualify for the Chariots of Fire. So, and that's without even talking about the WA horses. I think they've got a couple of really, really good ones, more than a couple, but the standouts at the moment would be Greg Bond's stablemates in Animalac and Mighty Conqueror. So the future looks immensely exciting, and we don't have to wait long until we get some really great racing again, Andrew, because the Fremantle Cup, including Miracle Mile winner Myfield Marshall and Inter-Dominion winner Tiger Tara, is just around the corner on January 11.
Yeah, already winning and goes there again on, not this week, the week after, and then that seven-day backup. Adam, happy new year to you. Thanks for joining us. We can't wait for everything to unfold in the early part. This first quarter of the year is going to throw up so much great action.
Yeah, my pleasure. And a happy new year to you and all of the listeners out there. And bring on a massive year in racing in general, but particularly in my beloved harness racing.
Good on you, Adam. Adam Hamilton joining us there from tab.com.au. Our last guest this morning on The Pace is Chris Barsby from Queensland. Happy New Year to you, Chris.
Andrew, Happy New Year to you and Happy New Year to all the listeners as well.
How strong or how much work has to be done to bring Queensland harness racing back to where it should be?
That's a very good question. And the bottom line, I would say to that question, is a lot. We've just gone through that really tumultuous time here in Queensland over the past couple of years. We reached that Everest, you could say, when we had that golden era of horses like Black the Fake, Be Good Johnny, Flashing Red, the list goes on. And then all of a sudden, I know it's cyclical, but we just fell off the cliff. We need a lot of work done with infrastructure here in Queensland as well. And that's probably the most important point right now. But I think there is a lot of work that needs to be done for Queensland to get back to the level it once was at. But in saying that, though, I think we've got a couple of horses that are well on the way to bringing Queensland back up to the top again.
All right, drop a couple of names there for our listeners.
Well, Colt 31, Andrew, is the obvious one. He created history by becoming the first Queenslander last year. It was, you know, just over 12 months ago when he won the Victoria Derby. And this is a time-honoured feat of the Victoria Derby, first stage back in 1914. And he was the first Queenslander to win it. He beat a star-studded lineup, race record time, and he's continued to go on with it since that victory in the Derby at Melton back in late January last year now. Of course, he's 4-for-4 this campaign. He's come off the Queensland Summer Carnival where he went unbeaten, last started winning the Queensland Summer Cup. Now he's getting set for the Chariots of Fire. As we know, the Chariots of Fire is going to be loaded with talent, but this guy is one of the best four-year-old pacers in the country. There's no doubt about that. Earnings just shy of $500,000, 23 wins from 33 starts. He continues to get better each and every time Grant Dixon, his trainer driver, produces him.
Okay, so that's Colt 31. Who else is there that our listeners can jot down and watch out for at the carnivals coming up this year?
Okay, well, the one that I wanted to sort of save until the end as far as a horse to follow is concerned, but I want to throw this name out there because it's probably a name that's not too familiar with a lot of interstate listeners, but this is a very good horse, and you'll see plenty of her during this year. Her name is Smart as Can Be. She was only a two-year-old filly last season. What she achieved was phenomenal. 5 wins from 7 starts. She ended the season with 5 straight victories, including 2 features, the Breeders' Classic and the Group 1 Qbred Triad Final. She's prepared by Kylie Rasmussen, the older sister of Natalie, who's the partner of Mark Purden, and this is a seriously good filly. She's got strength, but most importantly, she's got wicked change-up speed. And they had a very good mare a number of seasons ago now, Kylie Rasmussen and her partner Darren Weeks, Forever Gold. She won over $700,000, won over 40 races. They say her speed, Sparta's Can Be, is far superior than that of Forever Gold. She's going to be lining up at all the Qbred features again this year, but don't be shocked if she ventures across the border for a race series like the New South Wales Oaks and even the Victoria Oaks. So I know connections are keen to travel with her, so this is a very good filly that we're going to hear a lot more about. She's a pretty special type, Smart as Can Be.
Okay, so it's C-A-double-M.
Yes.
Okay, so Smart as Can Be is the one there. What about the Winter Carnival? You mentioned, I suppose it's a similar question, I guess, in some way to the first one, but the Winter Carnival, is there going to be a lot of energy placed into that in 2019?
Yeah, absolutely, and we're riding off the back of the fact that the Blacks of Fake, which is our main event during the Winter Carnival, is also the final leg of the Australian Pacing Gold Grand Circuit. That was the case last year. It's again the case this year. And I know Racing Queensland officials are keen to really build up this race. And it's a special time of year. Brisbane in the winter, there's no better spot to be. Last year, we had a very strong Winter Carnival and the spoils were shared. There was a couple of local victories. There was a couple of interstate and Kiwi victories as well. And this is something that Racing Queensland are keen to build on each and every year. And this year is going to be no exception. They want to make sure that they can attract the very best horses. They're going all out to make sure that we've got the best Grand Circuit horses available to contest the Blacks of Fake. But I'm sure the other events during the carnival, races like the Oaks and the Derby, Sunshine Sprint as well, are also going to be keenly pushed as well. So really looking forward to it. I thought the Winter Carnival last year was terrific. Unfortunately, Colt 31 got beaten in the Derby, went down narrowly, probably the best run of his career in saying that.
But the open class features, Let It Ride Stamp himself is a really serious horse, and Tactator's now in North America was brilliant taking out the Sunshine Sprint. But I'm certain this year's Winter Carnival 2019 will be better than what we saw last year.
Chris, we thank you for spending a few minutes with us this morning at the start of a new year, January 1, 2019, and we're so excited about the sport of harness racing and what we can watch and enjoy this coming year. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks, Andrew. Anytime.
Good on you. Chris Barsby, leading Queensland harness racing caller, and we thank all of our guests this morning, reflecting a little bit on the previous year, but also looking to the new year, and that completes our special edition of On the Pace.